May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 726. Christ, whose glory fills the skies, Christ, the true, the only light, Son of righteousness, arise, triumph o'er the shades of night, day spring from on high be near, day star in my heart appear. 726. Together from the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapters 3 and 4. The second book of Corinthians, chapters 3 and 4. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceeding glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up, raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. May the Lord bless his word and help Dave in prayer.
O Lord, wilt thou grant us grace and enable us to approach thy footstool, to come with confession and with supplication. Lord, we would abhor ourselves in thy sight. O Lord, how canst thou look upon poor sinners who have no good thing to plead before thee of their own? O Lord, may dust and ashes presume, great God, to talk to thee. Thou who art thrice holy, thou who canst not look upon sin, and of whom it is written, our God is a consuming fire. O Lord, is there hope for us? O wilt thou come, send thy dear Holy Spirit into our hearts this day, awaken us from the sleep of death, quicken our souls, grant us grace to cry unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found, to cry unto thee for life given from above, to cry unto thee that thou wilt pardon our iniquities, for they are very great, and for that thou wilt show that thou hast laid help upon one that is mighty, even upon thy dear Son, in whom thou art well pleased, that he has borne away all our sins, our iniquities, our transgressions, that we shall live at last because Jesus died for us. And so we beg of thee, Lord, wilt thou touch each heart here this day? Remember each soul for good, from the youngest to the oldest. Oh, may the dear Holy Spirit of truth come and grant that divine light, that which we've been singing of, the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, to know that he is our mediator, that he stands between us and a holy, heart-searching God, and that 'tis he instead of me is seen when I approach to God. Lord, we do pray that each one of us may be prepared for a never-ending eternity. We must soon die and be as water spilled upon the ground, which cannot be gathered up, and our bodies will rot in the grave. But where shall our souls be then? O Lord, do grant this great blessing, life given from above. Grant the arrow sent into each heart, that conviction of sin, and the knowledge that thou art the God of all the earth, a holy, holy, holy God, who canst not look upon iniquity. O Lord, grant that we may come with trembling, with confession before thee. O Lord, do give us grace to see that great blessing of forgiveness of sins forevermore, which is to be found alone in Jesus. We pray that thou wilt give the painful, pleasant smile, the knowledge of sin and a holy God, but the knowledge that life has been given, that we have new feelings, new desires, that thou hast opened our eyes to see our state before thee and caused us to cry unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Do this for each soul, we beseech thee. And now, Lord, we pray, oh, do remember each one in all their cases that they have brought into the house of prayer this day. Do grant answers of peace. Lord, thy servant, we have no servant of thine with us this day, for thou hast laid aside the one we hope to hear this evening. But, oh, may there be power and unction of the Holy Ghost. May there be something done in many hearts, and may thy name be exalted, a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance and remission of sins. O Lord, this is what we long for, this supernatural work of the Holy Ghost, that thou wilt lead us out to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We pray, Lord, that in every providential need, each one here may see thy good hand going before them and see wonders wrought, answers to prayer, those things that enable them to press on and to seek for the good of their never-dying soul. Lord, we would pray for thy servant whom thou hast laid aside, that thou wilt remember him in his need at this time. Put thy healing hand upon him, we beseech thee. Grant that much prayer may be made for him, that thou wilt hear and answer. Prayer that he may be raised up to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Prayer that all these things may fall out to the furtherance of the gospel, that they may be sanctified in his heart and in ours. O Lord, if thou hast sent these things, there is a purpose. Grant that we may be enabled to seek thee, to apply it in our hearts, and to consider, when we come down to death, will it be well with our souls? We pray now that thou wilt remember this house of prayer. Lord, we pray for the ingathering of precious souls, that it might please thee, if thy holy good pleasure, to bring in others to hear the word of life, that it may be quick and powerful in their souls, that it may cause them to turn again to see the living God. O Lord, we beseech thee, do these things, not for our sakes and our glory, but for thy great name's sake. O Lord, we ask that it might please thee to direct us concerning one to come and be our pastor here, if thy holy will. Oh, do not leave us, Lord, to push these things aside, Grant that there may be that right exercise in our hearts, and that Jesus, who sends his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit may send the man. Do not leave us to put our own hands to this matter. It is thy work we seek. O Lord, appear. O Lord, arise for thy people's sake. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember us in the nation and in the churches, for what an awful time we are living in now. Iniquity runs down our streets. Lord, we see that the torrent of evil grows daily worse and worse. And Lord, art thou hiding thy face? Lord, thou knowest. All things are known unto thee, and thou hast allowed these things to come. Oh, do stir up thy people to call upon thee in the day of trouble, that thou wilt deliver them. Lord, and when we are called to suffer persecution for thy holy name's sake, do grant us grace to stand, and having done all, to stand. Lord, we cannot stand in our own strength. No, not for one moment. Peter could not stand in his own strength. Neither can we. O Lord, we beseech thee, arise, arise, O God of might, and put the hosts of hell to flight. We do remember those of ours who are not here this day. We pray for them, Lord, that thou wilt bless them where they are. Those who are sick, that thou wilt put thy healing hand upon them. Those who are away, that thou wilt bless the change to them. And now we ask thy presence in the remainder of this service. Help our brother to read that which was preached before time. May it go forth with power and unction this day, as though it were preached afresh. And may thy name be glorified in the midst, sinners laid low, caused to confess before thee that they are but worms of the earth and nothing in thy sight, but thou art their hope of life alone. Lord, hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place, pardon every sin. Cause us to thank thee for all the mercies thou hast bestowed upon us in providence and in grace. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 619. Creatures are but vain at best, in them is no solid rest. All the world calls good or great cannot perfect bliss create. 619. try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Humberstone. You will find the text in the second chapter we read, the second book of Corinthians, chapter 4 and verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If you refer to the preceding chapter, you will find that there is another glory mentioned, and that is the glory of the law. The apostle refers to this glory with regard to Moses when he came down from Mount Sinai, having received the second pair of tables of stone with the law written upon them. The first two tables that he was given by God that had the law written upon them, he broke. He threw them down in his sorrow and indignation at the sin of Israel when he saw them worshipping the golden calf. But what a wonderful mercy that God did not leave it there. If he had, there would have been no mercy. He said to Moses, "Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou breakest. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai." So he wrote the law again. Those tables were not broken. They were placed in the Ark of the Covenant, that Ark which went before Israel in all their travels. Well, when Moses came down from the mount, his face so shone, it radiated the glory of that God who had been so merciful as to speak to him as a man speaketh to his friend. No man was ever so favoured as Moses was in that communion that he was blessed with. His face so radiated glory that they could not look upon him. Well now, the apostle speaks of that glory as the glory that should be done away with, and it is done away with under the gospel. That glory was the glory of God manifested in his holiness and in his perfect justice. There is no hope there. No hope whatever. No, no. The law can only condemn, curse, and kill us. But that which the apostle speaks of in this verse that we have read by way of a text is entirely different. This is the gospel. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a mercy it is. He speaks in the previous chapter and says, "But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart." That is, upon the Jews. But there will be a day, we believe, when that veil will be removed and the Lord will bless them. But to come to the text. What an infinite mercy it is that this great God commanded the light to shine. This refers to God's creation, when God in his infinite mercy viewed the darkness that covered the earth, when the earth was without form and void, when he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. How the apostle shows us that it is absolutely necessary for this wonderful miracle to be performed individually and personally in the hearts of his own dear people, else they have no light, no saving light. What an infinite mercy it is that God has ever had a people from all eternity. The scripture reveals, and we have had it revealed to some of our hearts, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the glorious Trinity, entered into a covenant, an agreement, before time began, that all Adam's seed should not be damned through their sins. No. They chose out of them a number, which ultimately will be a number which cannot be numbered. Out of each generation there is a certain number, in some generations more than others. But in the end, when all are gathered home, what a multitude it will be of sinners saved by free and sovereign grace. The love of the Trinity was placed upon them from all eternity. Even the floodgates of sin opened when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden could never alter that love, no. Sin certainly barred that love from ever entering into any heart except through the finished work of Christ. All those who were God's people before the gospel era were favoured under his love. They were favoured with the credit of Christ coming in the future. He was promised to them that he would come and redeem them from their sins, and so he did in the fullness of time. We read that God sent his only begotten Son into this world to save sinners. Ah, it is an infinite mercy if we know anything about it experimentally in our souls. This word here, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, it needs and requires this same God to shine into our hearts, our dark, sinful, dead hearts, spiritually considered. We may be born into this world and we may grow up and have many, many gifts, intellectual gifts. We may be favoured with the things of nature. But as God sees us, we are all on one level, dead in trespasses and sins and under the curse of his holy law. Well, it is a wonderful mercy if light has shone into your heart and mine and revealed these things to us with a convincing power. Ah, it is a wonderful mercy if we belong to this number, loved with an eternal love. This election of grace, this number that will ultimately form the bride of Christ in heaven, for all eternity clothed in his glorious righteousness, washed in his atoning blood. If we belong to that number, the Holy Ghost, the third person in the glorious Trinity, God the Holy Ghost, who is God equal with the Father and the Son in all the attributes we give to Jehovah, God Almighty. It is his blessed work to shine into the hearts of all his people. They all come into this world as sinners, lost and ruined in themselves, but they know nothing about it and care less about it. We may be brought up under the sound of the truth all our days, and it is a mercy if we are, or we may be left to go into the world, into its sins and vanities, its wickedness and profanity, as I was left. Yet how we need this light that God alone can command to shine into our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. When that light has shone into the heart, it reveals something of the holiness of God, and it reveals to us our sinfulness. Indeed, it is a new birth. We are told by Christ himself in speaking to Nicodemus in the third of John that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven, cannot even see it, let alone enter into it. It is only by this light, this glorious light of the Spirit shining into our hearts, that we have any saving knowledge. Ah, what a mercy it is if we can trace in our experience something of this. The Holy Ghost is a sovereign. In some he works very deeply and sharply. In some he works very gently. So gently that it is perhaps hardly perceived for a long time. In some cases he works very gently with them all their life. And in others he works more deeply. This is according to his sovereignty. His love to them is exactly the same as the Father's and the Son's. Oh, this blessed, unchangeable love of the Trinity. In the first place, when he comes and commands this light to shine into their hearts, it reveals to them their darkness. It reveals to them their sinnership. Whether they are dealt with gently, or dealt with sharply, or even roughly, the end is the same. The teaching is the same. He will convince them of sin. Christ said that when the Spirit of truth is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness, that they have none, and of judgment. Well now, if we can look back upon our experience and can trace in some perhaps feeble measure something of this in our hearts, it is a wonderful mercy. Can you go back to a time when you began to see things differently? Perhaps you were brought up to attend the house of God. You heard his truth perhaps all your days. But there must come a time when there is a beginning to this work. If you are such that you have been always under the truth, you may be very, very tried now, many a time, as to whether you ever had a beginning. Perhaps you may envy a poor sinner who has been brought out of the world. Oh, do not envy them, no. The work is just the same in you as it is in them, but there must be a beginning. Though perhaps unperceived at first, but it will come upon you that you will begin to listen to the truth with a different attitude to what you have done before. You may have come to the chapel, heard the most solemn truth, heard of the sufferings of Christ, you may have heard of the love of God, but when you left the chapel it all went, and it did not trouble you, did not move you. You could hear of those terrible sufferings of Christ, and it did not touch your heart in those days. But is there any difference now? Is there any difference in you now? Do you see things in a different light to what you did then? Do you see and sometimes feel that you are a sinner in the sight of a holy, holy God, and that eternity is before you, and that death will come one day, and that after death is the judgment? Oh, this solemn teaching that is abroad in these days throughout the world, this dreadful communism, I must mention it, though I do not want to go into politics, God forbid, but it is an awful spirit, and many, many of our youth are taught it, are brought up in it, that death is the end of everything, that there is no immortal soul, no God, no heaven, no hell, no judgment. Oh, what a solemn thing. That if the Holy Ghost begins with you and begins to shine this light in your heart, he will give you to see that death is but the beginning of a never-ending eternity, and that your soul will spend it either under the blissful smile of a glorious God in his mercy and love, or in an eternal hell where the worm of a guilty conscience will never, never abate, and where the fire of God's wrath against your sins will never abate through all eternity in a never-ending hell. If the Holy Ghost shines into your heart, as I hope it did in mine, he will show you these things. He will bring you away from all those false notions. And if you have been in a false religion, he will bring you away from that. He will empty you altogether, and he will make you see yourself as a poor, hell-deserving sinner before a holy, holy God. This is what that light does. But let me tell you this, it is love that moves him to shine into your heart. It is that eternal love of the Trinity that moves him to come into your heart. He does not come into the worldly. He does not come into the poor world and show them these things. No. You may try to tell them these things. You may try to tell your children and your dearest these things, but they cannot receive them. No. This miracle must be wrought in the soul. This new birth must be brought about ere we have this light that shines out of darkness. And oh, the horrible darkness that we are in. I repeat, we may have light upon everything of this world, and we may rise very high in gifts and in intelligence, but all the teaching of this world and all the religion of this world will never bring this about. And without it, we are lost forever. Ah, what a mercy if we can trace a little of this light shining into our hearts, giving us to see what we are by nature before God, not before your fellow men, no, no. It is a secret work in the heart, but it will manifest itself on the outside. As the Holy Ghost proceeds in this work, he will give you living faith which believes in this blessed book. In my young days, I threw it away for years. I never went to a place of worship. I hated it. I despised the very name of Christ, so I know what I'm speaking about. If the Holy Ghost begins to shine into your heart, he will bring you to this book, and he will give you faith to believe all that is in it, even against yourself in condemnation. But let me repeat, it is because he loves you if he has done this. You cannot see this at first, no. All is condemnation. All is disquieted within. But he goes on with this work in his own good time and way. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. What for? To leave you in condemnation? To die in your sins? No, no, no. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a wonderful mercy this is. Sometimes, in some cases, he does it very gradually. But he will bring the sinner to see that there is hope. Hope. He will bring him to see something of the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is salvation. This is the gospel. And sooner or later, he will give every one of his to see in some measure, some deeper, some clearer than others, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He will attract the soul. He will attract that new creation within toward this blessed Christ. He will begin to make him precious to them. He will begin to make them see that he is the one thing needful. Oh, he will set up within them such longings for him to reveal himself to their heart. As we sang in that beautiful hymn, he will bring them so that nothing beside him will really satisfy them. No. I know that in his sovereignty, with some of his people, he reveals these things to them and then keeps them waiting and longing all their days. Their language is, 'tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought, do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? He keeps some waiting and waiting, but they are after him. There is something in their heart that longs after him. With some it is only at their latter end, their very end, that he gives them to feel and to see a little of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, in the salvation of their souls. They are brought to see that he came into this world and that he took into eternal union, never to relinquish it, humanity in a glorious, holy humanity. In that humanity he was capable and did fulfill every precept of that holy, holy law, which can only condemn you and me. Through the fall, we have no capability of fulfilling one precept of that holy law acceptably to a holy God. Sin is mixed with all we do. But ah, what a mercy it is that he came into this world and he fulfilled that law entirely. He said to the Jews in the temple, "One jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." He could fulfill it, none but he, and it was out of love to his people. Oh, what a righteousness this is! There is no other righteousness that will avail. No other righteousness will ever be accepted by a holy God but this righteousness of Jesus. As the Holy Ghost begins to give you light, this light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, you will be given to see something of that glorious righteousness. You will see and feel that you have none of your own to come before God with. You will believe the word of God, that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, that they are a stench in the nostrils of a holy God. You look through the gospel, and you will find that Christ made more denunciations against the Pharisees and self-righteous people than he did against any others in his preaching. Solemn it is to come before God with any supposed righteousness of our own. Well now, this blessed, glorious righteousness that Jesus wrought out for his people was as he stood in their room, place and stead. His work was vicarious. It was not for himself. He had no need to have done it. He had no need to have come from a glorious heaven and become a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, to come into this world to be condemned for other people. He had no need to have left the glory of heaven to spend whole nights in prayer, when the mountains and the midnight witnessed the fervour of his prayer, when he offered up strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. He had no need for himself to have come into this world to suffer in Gethsemane and the judgment hall and to hang upon Calvary's tree. No, it was all done in love as the surety for his people. Oh, what love, love immense, love we can never understand is here. We read, do we not, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. And he endured the cross every day of his life in the opposition, the hatred of men and devils against him. Well now, what a mercy it is to have a hope. Though you have no righteousness of your own to come before God with, but to have a hope in this glorious righteousness. Oh, what peace it will bring into your soul if the Holy Ghost so shines into your heart, giving you this knowledge of the glory of God. For this was all to his own glory. He would work out a righteousness that would make his people meet for heaven. He not only did that, but then at the end, he must essentially come under that awful attribute of divine justice against sin. No sin will ever be unpunished, my friends. Your sins and mine. The sins of the whole universe from Adam's day down to the last person in this world. All their sins will come under the wrath of a holy God. But the blessedness here is that the sins of God's people came upon Christ. The Father laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Not just their outward transgressions, but that deep iniquity that is in our hearts. He laid it to the charge of his only begotten Son, as though he was guilty of it all. Oh, we cannot understand it. It is beyond us, beyond all human reason, beyond all human conception. How that Christ should bear the sins of that untold number of his elect in his own soul and body, as he was visited in the room placed instead of his people in Gethsemane. In Gethsemane, we read of him speaking to his disciples of being very heavy. Oh, as his Father began to pour out upon him his wrath without any mitigation, as he stood in the room placed instead of his people, it brought him reeling upon the ground. His agony in the body was so great that his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Who can understand it? Then he was brought ultimately into the judgment hall, where they blasphemed him, spit upon him, crowned him with thorns, scourged his back, and mocked him. He stained all his raiment with his precious blood. Then he hung on Calvary's tree, lifted up as a spectacle between earth and heaven. The very sun in nature hid its face from the sight, and darkness covered the earth from the sixth to the ninth hour. Oh, that voice that cried out, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He was forsaken that his people might never be forsaken. He bore all the wrath that was due to them, all the hell that should have been theirs. He bore it in his heart and holy nature out of love to them. Oh, what love was here, a love that we can never understand. The height, the length, the breadth of this love that moved him to come to such a pass, that moved the Father to thrust into the heart and soul of his only begotten Son the sword of divine justice as he stood as the surety for his people. Well now, has any light shone into your heart at any time upon this word? Have you ever beheld this blessed Christ? I can tell you what the effect would be. The effect would be to so soften your heart and bring tears of repentance down your cheeks, godly sorrow for your sin. You would say with me, "Oh, didst thou bear my sins? Were my crimes, my heinous crimes, were they laid to thy charge?" And you know, if we are not fully made meet, we shall not stand before that great white throne at last. How solemn these things are. What a price was paid for the salvation of the Lord's people. What a mercy it is if the Holy Ghost has shone into our hearts and given us this knowledge by faith within, that believes it, that hangs upon it, that feels all our hope for eternity is upon it, in this finished work of Christ. We have no hope in ourselves. He will bring you from time to time, as you journey along through this life, to know that it is through much tribulation we must enter the kingdom at last. But he will use the things of this time state, and you will be constantly brought empty of self, empty of all hope, and brought constantly to this light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, in the face of what he has done, in the face of that finished, glorious work. We read, do we not, that when it was all concluded after his resurrection, for the grave could not hold him, when he finally ascended up into heaven, it was not without blood. He took that blood into heaven itself, and there it is a witness of his finished work. Oh, what precious blood this is! It atoned for the sins of all his elect. Oh, how exceedingly precious it must be in heaven. As the Father views that blood, he is satisfied, nay, eternally glorified, in the work of his Son. He views his people complete, perfect, in that glorious finished work as he views that blood. That blood brings peace on earth and goodwill toward men. which was promised when Christ came into the world. Do you know anything of it? Have you ever been blessed with it in your soul? That peace that passes all understanding. Oh, if the Holy Ghost brings you to see this glory of God in salvation. For God is glorified in the salvation of every one of his poor weak things, though they may be. Yet he is glorified in the work of his Son for them, and in the work of the Holy Ghost in them, revealing these things by this light in their soul. What a mercy that some of us, I hope, can go back to a time when Christ was revealed to us, when we were brought down, lost and ruined, and there seemed to be but a step between us and hell. We deserved it, we knew we did. We felt we could not go on much longer. But this light was brought in instantaneously, and Christ was revealed to the eye of faith. Ah, that word was spoken in my poor heart. Where am I? There shall my servant be also. That was over 60 years ago now, but I have not forgotten it, no. It left a mark which shall never be erased. Not through all the battles here, not all the battles there are against it, with Satan, unbelief, and cursed infidelity. And oh, the rebellion, troubles and trials. Yet I go back in faith, time after time, to that same blessed Jesus whom the Holy Ghost revealed and showed me the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and that the Father could smile upon me. Through this wonderful work, he could smile upon me. He came into this world suffering, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. Oh, what a mercy if you know anything about these things in your heart. Have you ever felt any of this light? Has he ever revealed to you your sinfulness? Has he ever revealed to you the beauty and the loveliness of the person of Christ as your only hope? Has he ever led you a little into what it cost him to procure this salvation? It is a mercy if he has. Well now, this is the meaning, I believe, of the Holy Ghost here by the Apostle. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That glorious face of mercy, love, pity, compassion, and salvation. Here I must leave it. The time has gone. May the Lord bless his word. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £710, for which we're very thankful. Mr. Timothy Barker is unable to come this evening as he has been in hospital and is very unwell, as you will have gathered. God willing, Mr. Hadley will preach on Tuesday evening and Mr. Fred Ince next Lord's Day. After the closing hymn, John, will you close the service, please? Our hymn is 297. Jehovah has said, 'tis left on record, the righteous are one with Jesus the Lord. At all times he loves them, 'twas for them he died. Yet oft times he proves them, for grace must be tried. Hymn 297.
this morning. We may pray thy blessing upon our service this morning. Lord, do bless those truths which we have. Lord, do grant, Lord, as the hymn writer wrote, Jesus, reveal thyself to me. Oh Lord, we do pray that thou so shining on. Lord, do open our eyes. Oh, we do pray for that person to live. So Lord, do bless that which we have. Oh, we do thank thee, Lord, that these services have been recorded. Thy servant who often preach from this book. Lord, we pray that today, he being dead may yet speak. O Lord, do grant, we pray. Lord, do bless them upon the word. O Lord, bless the reading of thy word, the hymns of this. Lord, O may we take it home and beat it out. As one of thy servants often cries, may we not read it on the chapel doors. Lord, may it abide. Oh, let thee be with us now as we part. Do gather the children this afternoon. Grant my blessing at the Sunday school. Lord, may something be done today to thy honor and glory. And do gather us again this evening. Lord, do bless that which is to be blessed. Do help everyone. And Lord, we do pray for thy servants. We hope to. Lord, thou hast laid thy afflicted hand upon him. Oh, we do pray that thou draw near to him. Grant him thy healing touch. Do sanctify it. Undertake for him his dear one and his family. Lord, do raise him up again. Oh, do grant my peace. Help thy servants up and down the land today. Lord, may something be done today, to thy honour and glory. Oh, that souls may be affected by the Lord. Lord, may there be the signs for it. Lord, be with us now as we forgive our every sin. May we be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. We ask it for Jesus Christ. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.